This week, the World Trade Organization has been holding talks on agriculture. Freeing up farm trade is a key aim of the global negotiations launched a year ago in Doha, Qatar. There, WTO trade ministers vowed to cut and eventually phase out export subsidies. They also promised to scale back domestic support, including payments that set a floor under the price that farmers get for crops. As NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports, this could go a long way toward another goal set in Doha, steering more of the benefits of trade to the world's poorest nations.
There's no doubt about it. Agricultural subsidies are huge. World Bank chief economist Nicholas Stern chides wealthy countries about this every chance he gets.
The average European cow receives around $2.50 a day in subsidy. Actually, the average Japanese cow receives around $7 a day in agricultural subsidy. 75% of the people of sub-Saharan Africa live on less than $2 a day.
Stern says wealthy countries give roughly six times as much to their own farmers as they do to the world's poor. And he says these subsidies often harm developing countries more than foreign aid helps them. That's because many poor countries rely on growing and exporting crops, and the subsidies make it tough to compete. Brink Lindsay is a trade specialist at the Cato Institute.
Consider the fact that roughly half of the people in developing countries are dependent upon agriculture, and that figure rises to three quarters in the world's least developed countries, and you'll start to appreciate the appalling scale of harm caused by subsidies.
The problem is that subsidies push down prices. Take the case of cotton. The global price has dropped, but U.S. farmers get a higher price, guaranteed by the government. Last year, they produced $3 billion worth of cotton and got almost $4 billion in subsidies. So they went ahead and planted more cotton, further depressing global prices. And that's been devastating for Africa, according to Oxfam International's chief researcher, Kevin Watkins.
There are 10 million cotton farmers in West Africa and Central Africa alone. And what we've seen over the past couple of years is a massive increase in poverty, collapse of health systems, collapse of education systems, and American subsidies, of course, are not the only part of that story, but they're certainly a very significant part. The international cotton market and the livelihoods of millions of very poor people are being destroyed by these transfers to the cotton barons of Texas and elsewhere.
The World Bank and International Monetary Fund basically agree. Hans-Peter Lankes is chief of the IMF's International Trade Division.
According to research by the fund and the bank, world cotton prices would rise by 25% to 30% if farm subsidies for cotton in the U.S. were eliminated.
But the U.S. isn't going to act alone.
The agriculture community is ready to support moving everything down together, but they don't want to unilaterally disarm.
Alan Johnson is chief agricultural trade negotiator for the U.S.
Our farmers are very concerned, just like farmers from the developing countries, very concerned when we see $2+ billion in export subsidies coming out of Europe, because our farmers don't get those export subsidies. They're very concerned when Europe is spending three times what we are on trade distorting domestic support. They don't want to compete against the treasury of Europe. And they're also concerned when our average tariff is about 12%, and the average tariff in the world is 62%, that the markets that they're trying to get to aren't open.
So the U.S. has made what it calls a bold proposal. It would cut agricultural tariffs around the world by an average of 75% and eliminate export subsidies, which governments use to unload excess crops by selling them abroad at a discount. It would also slash the payments that encourage farmers to produce too much. Bob Stallman, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, says U.S. farmers would get smaller government checks.
50% reduction in domestic supports, which is what the WTO proposal contemplates, is significant. If you understand the politics of this country, I think that's very significant.
But he says opening foreign markets would be worth it. The U.S. proposal is not such a good deal, though, for farmers in Europe and Japan. Europe's farmers would have to squeeze by on less than a fifth of what they get today, and Japanese farmers would face even steeper cuts. Hundreds of thousands of small farmers would go out of business. The farm lobby in these countries is even stronger than it is in the U.S., and any trade concessions could spark protests and political turmoil. Europe and Japan say they'll offer their own proposals, but they haven't yet. That has slowed progress, and Europeans warn that asking for too much could delay an agreement for years. That worries Pedro de Camargo, Brazil's chief agricultural trade negotiator.
It cannot take 8 years or 15 years to have this happen. We need results now.
Camargo points out that the last round of global trade talks, the Uruguay round, also started with lofty rhetoric and ambitious goals for agriculture, but dragged on for 8 years. And in the end, the major barriers to trade in agriculture were still standing. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.